or continue to do it yourself for the only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll free number 888-938-4643.
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three, about 5 minutes in, give or take. Larry Jones off of the Whitmore win, one of the two grade threes. And yeah, special for his own reasons, that win. But certainly the win a little bit later in the Essex. Another one that was special because Danny Caldwell, for all the success that he has as an owner, had knocked on the door repeatedly in graded stakes and broke through on Saturday in the Essex with the 9-year-old, and I think pretty much as widely celebrated as any stake in recent memory. He joins us now. Danny, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. No, it was widely celebrated for sure. You know, we'd finished second and third in several graded races, but never could knock the door down. And it couldn't be a better horse to knock the door down when it's rated R Superstar, who's a very special horse to us.
We'll talk about him specifically in a minute. So funny because you and I had the conversation, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago or at the beginning of the year, I guess, and then we were together at the HBPA convention. And, you know, your role as an owner was very much key and central to that discussion with the horsemen. And, there's no shortage of storylines like yours that, you know, the owners that get involved at the claiming level and then, you know, maybe start buying horses and breeding some horses and, you know, kind of going up the ladder. You've been up the ladder already, and it just was a matter of, you know, the right one at the right moment, and it's got to be very satisfying.
Oh, it was. I mean, it was. I knew we had a shot if we got a track that allowed us to claim, and the track's been very fair. It's been very good at Oaklawn this year, and it was very fair Saturday, and once we got a speed duel in front, David has done a superb job of waiting and being patient and knowing when to push the button and when to go. And Rated R responded. I knew he was doing well. Freddie done a good job. You know, we babied that horse along, give him a break. And since the break, he's came back and, he's come back like a 3 or 4 year old.
I guess we could dive into the backstory, and this is a horse I've talked about with everybody. I with Cipriano Contreras, and going back to the origin story with Kenny McPeak, and it's just very unusual for a horse to maintain this high of a level of performance for such an extended period. And it's not even just the level of performance, Danny. I mean, he's running on a regular basis. This isn't a horse that's only, being run 4 or 5 times a year. He's running steadily. He seems to thrive on the work.
Yeah, he does. And Kenny had success. Sippy had success with him. We've had success. He's just a hard-knocking racehorse. I'll tell you a little story. I was walking out after the race, and Gary Stevens came over to me, and he goes, "Hey, man," he said, "that's a cool dude." He said, "he reminds me of John Henry." And I said, "Well, he's got a lot to do before he gets John Henry status." But, yes, he definitely tries hard and loves to race. He's a blessing for our stable.
With this win, I should mention, too, he became not just your first graded stake win, but he became the biggest earner you've had as a in the barn.
Correct.
Right.
Yes, he surpassed Domaine's Rap, who had run second in Oaklawn Handicap, and he'd won fifth seasons, and you know, he had won a couple other stakes, but he was another old horse that was, you know, done it at 8 and 9 years old for us, and I picked him up in the claim at Remington Park, and so, you know, we just kind of baby those older horses, and you don't train real hard on them. You save it for the game day, and they love game day. They know when it's time to go perform, and they love it. They love their job, and, you know, we love them.
Well, and in fact, you know, you say that when it comes to particularly to, you know, to a veteran geldings, you know, that tack box out in front of the out in front of the stall, they absolutely know. Or when the tag gets hung, you know, horse in today, they the way they're handled, they know when the tub gets taken away, what's going on.
When they get Lasix, they know. I mean, we have to keep somebody in there with rated R once he gets Lasix. He knows. I mean, he is smart. And when I was in a paddock with him Saturday, I was just looking in his eye, and I said, "You ready, rated R?" And you know, he just kind of gave me that eye, and he just kept staring at me as Federico was saddling him, and I said, "Man, this horse is ready. He knows his job. He's ready to go." And you know, it's a tough field. I mean, I'm taking anything away from those other horses.
No.
It was a very tough field. And, you know, he went off to 8-1 for a reason. And you know, I'm just looking back on some of his charts, and if he gets a fair track where he can make his move, you know, this horse on my charts, he's going to run a 6, 5, 7. You know, and if he don't, he runs a 10. I mean, that's basically the way he is. If he gets his track and he gets his pace and where he can make his move late, and he knows how to take care of himself. He's sound, you know, and so, like I said, we're just very fortunate to have a horse like him in our stable.
You know, it's funny, because at the beginning of the show, I kind of walked through from the beginning, and it's really crazy when you look at a you know, horse this age, 8, 9, 10, and you see the names of the horses that he ran against, you know, that have, including right. Including ones that have been standing stud for, you know, for 3 years. Exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I go back to when he ran in the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, he was Nyquist and Brody's Cause, Exaggerator. I mean, there's a lot of them going down the list. But I mean, it's amazing that he's still racing. And you know, Silver State beat him last year in this race by a head. You know, he's went on to be a stallion, and you know, we thought, well, we'll get our graded win at the Cornhusker last year at Prairie Meadows, and guess who shows up? Nick's Go. Well, we're not going to beat Nick's Go when he's in his prime, and so now he's moved on to something else, and my horse is still racing, and you know, hopefully he'll continue to do well, and we'll look at the Oaklawn Handicap and see what we can get done.
It's a fun story. I just, and I'm looking at the total earnings. Yeah, this is pretty crazy, and I don't even know how I'd pull this up, but he's earned, you know, he's earned way over $1 million, and you know, obviously the $700,000 for you, $1.6 million almost, 1589, and he's never run a triple digit buyer, Danny. It, you know, you talked about the sheet figure about his numbers on Rag, but he's never run a triple digit buyer, and yet he's made $1.6 million.
I know, it's amazing. I mean, and I go by equal base figures as well. He's run 111. It looks like his best, maybe his best one, and that was in the fifth seasons. So he ran 109 the other day. I thought he ran his best race for us the other day. You know, you know, they have their way of doing their numbers, but it's amazing that he hasn't run a triple buyers, and he's beaten some nice horses. He's been beat by nice horses. I mean, it's, you know, he is just a true competitor, and you know, I expect him, if he's still doing this well, he'll make a showing in the Oaklawn. I'm not saying he's going to win it by no means, because it'll be some of the best horses in the country. But I think right now he gets a shot at him anyway.
59th career start for those keeping tabs, 11th win. Interesting to see a horse that's won, that's got more wins than seconds and thirds, actually. 11 wins, 10 seconds, and 8 thirds. And he's actually run 21 times, a little less than half, at Oaklawn. You know, distance-wise, he's gone as far. I know he ran in the Temperance Hill for Cipriano going back a little bit. But, you know, from a mile to a mile and a half, I mean, you can try him at any configuration, any distance.
Yeah, and he seems to love Oaklawn Park, too.
Yeah.
I will throw that in. I mean, he seems to love that track. And, you know, the freshening up, I think, before Oaklawn, you know, I think that's what he needed. And it seems to pay off. You know, on the Razorback, it, you know, the speed was kind of holding that day, and he kind of had a little bit of a tough trip. David said, I wish I'd have kept him about three lengths closer, but, you know, I was kind of letting him run his race. We talked about that before the, you know, in the paddock. And anyway, David, again, just rode him superb. I mean, you know, he knows the horse. He loves the horse. I mean, you can see pictures on the internet where he's hugging the horse after the race. That's what it's all about. I mean, it's, you know, a love for the horse. That's what it's all about.
Well,
and he's got a lot of fans. I mean,
yeah.
Oakland especially, you should have heard the crowd. I mean, they went nuts when he won. And I've had people from all over the country text me or call me or message me that, hey, he's one of my favorite horses, and, you know, I always wager on him, and, you know, hardly ever does he let him down. I mean, he always tries.
Well, and that, to me, that a big part of what went on Saturday involving Ron Moquette and Whitmore, and, you know, this win, it really, there was a real harmony to everything that went on, right?
Well, definitely. Oh, definitely. I mean, starting with Ron, I mean, you know, he grew up 25 miles from where I grew up. So, I mean, it's close. We were just right across the Arkansas border here in Oklahoma. And Whitmore is, a super older horse that ran on up in age and still looks great on the track. And I was, you know, it was nice to see him out leading the post parade the other day. And, you know, Ron actually texted me and congratulations. And so it was a neat, I mean, for Whitmore and for Rated R, both older horses that give it all they got.
Well, if he can follow this up with an Oakland handicap win, they'll rename a stake the Rated R Superstar. That's coming.
Well, that would be nice. And hopefully, I know one thing, he's going to try it. You know, he's going to give his effort, and he's going to run that last, you know, quarter of a mile. He's going to lay it on the line. And so it'll be depending on, you got to have racing luck. And, you know, it'll be a tough field. So, you know, we're just going to give it our best shot and see what happens.
You and I have talked, he's come up in conversation with when we've talked, but the original claim, the 50,000, you know, talk about, you know, making the decision to drop on him.
Well, I mean, I've been watching this horse, you know, for a couple of years and really liked him and liked his running style. I like horses that run late, easily take care of themselves. And,
yeah.
And they know, you know, they know their job and they know they love to compete, horses that run late. So I filled out the card. I just won a race in the first race to claim my horse. So luckily I had the money in my account. I think it was a Saturday. I'm not sure, but anyway, I didn't, you know, it all just planned out, and I'm sitting up there with a card and looking at my wife. I said, that's a lot of money. I said, She goes, if you don't drop it, you're going to, don't talk to me about regret. Don't talk to me about when he comes back and beats you. I said, well, I'm going to go give him a shot then. And luckily that day, nobody had dropped on him but me, and he'd had two, you know, very questionable races at Turfway Park. And, you know, I just kind of throw those out because it's a poly track. And I just didn't think he took part of that poly track as well as he does on the dirt. And so luckily no one else dropped and I got him, and the rest is history.
That's great. And that's a good point about that the Turfway, those two Turfway starts in December of 20 and January of 21 kind of dirtied up his form.
Yes, they did. They did, and I can see why nobody would take a shot on an older horse for 50,000 coming off a 6th and 7th place finish. And, you know, I just had a gut feeling. You know, I get those every once in a while in this claiming game. You got to have those feelings every once in a while. They're not always right, but this one sure has paid off for me. And, you know, I claim a lot of horses, and luckily I get a few good ones every once in a while. You know, love all of them, and this one's just kind of special to us.
I just picked up on something that is pretty amazing, actually. Of course, the horse has moved around the country a little bit, pretty much pretty much mid-American racing, even with some East Coast visits. But do you realize that this win represents the first time the horse has won 11 races? It's the first time he's had the same jock win twice on him.
Wow. No, I did not know that.
This is crazy. Listen to this.
Wow.
This is nuts. Jesus Castanon broke the maiden for him. Then Corey Lannery won an allowance at Churchill in 16. Then Cornelio Velasquez won the carry back on him. It's crazy. Ricardo Santana won an allowance. Javier Castellano won the Ben Ally. Walter De La Cruz won the Essex when it was not graded. Then Cisco Arrieta won that claiming race when you got him. Sophie Doyle wins an allowance. Ramon Vasquez wins the Governor's Cup. And now David has won the fifth season and the Essex back-to-back. That's wild.
It is. Well, it just shows the horse. It's the horse. And, you know, of course, he's got to have a good pilot. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from David. I mean, he rode a super race. But, you know, the horse tries, and it don't matter who's on his back. He's going to give effort. And, you know, and those are all good jocks, too. So,
crazy.
You know, it's just kind of weird that I don't know if there's another horse in the country has that line.
Not that's won this many times. I mean, when you get a horse that's good like this, you know, jocks and agents want to latch on.
Well, I was talking to Jose, and I said, you know, you might want to follow this horse where I take him. He goes, don't worry. We'll be there with David. Don't worry. I said, well, that's great. I think it was David's first graded win as well. As many races as he's won, I think it was his first one.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. It was the whole, all the connections that owner, trainer, and jock. So it was a 9-year-old horse. So it was pretty special. I mean, it really was.
How about, well, actually he won the Remington Oaks, actually, for McPeak and Vuitton.
Okay.
So he did.
Right. Well, he told me. Was it graded?
It was. Well, let's see. Let's see at that. Let me see. That's a good question. Let's see if it was a grade. Maybe it was. It was graded. It was graded.
Okay. Well, he just didn't realize it then.
He forgot. Yeah. That was,
he forgot because he was fired up about it.
He was all excited. Well, that could be a running joke from now on with David. Every time he wins a graded stake, he can say, it's my first one.
That's right.
Make
that's
the owner feel good.
Exactly.
That's pretty funny. Well, Danny, I want you to at least spend a couple of minutes talking to everybody that's out there, because I brought this up with you at the HBPA, and that, you know, that's a finite audience. You know, your journey essentially as an owner, and to get to the level of involvement that you're at, and you know, there's plenty of people that dip their toe in, and even if they have success, they don't, you know, necessarily grow as an owner. I mean, talk to people that are intrigued and you know, would like to do it and are being held back for something's holding them back for one reason or another.
Well, I mean, we need new owners in the game. I try to help recruit new owners. I have, you know, people contact me all the time about getting in the game, and I try to be honest and give them the kind of, you know, how I've done it and how you can do it. And you know, you can have success, and it may not be quick success, but it's a long haul deal. You know, I've been in it now for years. I mean, I started in the 90s with a few little horses when I was coaching. And, you know, like I said, like I tell anybody, I'm an ex-coach. So if anybody can do it, I can do it. You know, they can do it. So it, you know, I've been fortunate enough to win 1,080 races. And it takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort. But if you hire a trainer that, you know, an honest trainer that does their job, they can get in this game and for not that much money in the claiming game. And have success, return on their investment, you know, within a month or so. You know, if you want to go buy a yearling, then it's going to take longer. If you want to buy a year-old, then it's not too long. But the biggest deal is it's fun. If you love the horses, it's great. You don't always have to make money. you can go in and just enjoy the game. You know, I was sitting with George Sharp this weekend. He's a new owner in the game. He's been in it for a while, but he's really he gave a great interview there at Oaklawn Park about just his love for the horses, his love for the animals, and how he enjoys and how he's going to take care of his horse Popular Kid that ran in the race. You know, he's not going to put him in for a tag. He's going to make sure he retires him the same I'll do with Rated R and make sure he has a good home. And, you know, those are factors down the road for owners that I try to explain. And once you get into it, you want to make sure you take care of the horses down the road. And, it's a game. It has its ups and downs, but its ups are way much better than its downs. And, we need new owners, and I encourage new owners and to get in it and, you know, save a little money, have a little money to start with, and just know that, you know, you get a chance to get a return on your investment, you know, soon if you claim a horse. So the claiming game is getting tougher. I will say that. I mean, I lost a 39-way shake this weekend. I think that's the biggest shake I've been in ever. So and I seen a $62,500 horse have 10-way shake, I think, yesterday. So that's the claiming game and what it's evolved into compared to what it was a couple of years ago. So it is a little tougher to get in the game, you know, by the claiming, but, you know, you can still go buy privately. I still buy horses privately. I still go to the sales and buy. And, it's fun. And, I encourage new owners to get in it and just know what you're getting in and know that, you know, if you win at 20%, you're doing great in this game. And that's what you got to look at. You know, if you're 15 to 20, you're doing really good. So it's not something you're going to go out here and win at 50% or 40%. And, you know, if you can hit the board, you still get a check, you still get your bills paid, and it's still fun. So that's kind of the way I look at it.
Financially, how much, how much did you start with in terms of, and when Danny says he's a coach, he's a schoolboy coach. You're not coaching, you know, a Big 12 program.
No, at one time that's what I wanted to do, but no, you're right. And you know, back in the 90s when I was a coach, of course it was $2,500 and we run for $1,000 purses at Blue Ribbon Downs, a great little track here in South Salt we used to have open, and it was a lot of fun, and we just done it for fun. And, you know, I had one win like five races for me, and then he got claimed. And I claimed another one, and she went up to Remington, and the first time she ran, she bowed a tendon, so I retired her, and I was out of the game for a while. And so when my brother and I opened a natural stone business, and I'd kind of started saving from the second or third year I'd got in the business, I wanted to get back in the horse business. And so I think I had about $100,000 put back. You don't have to have that much to get in the game, but I wanted to have multiple horses. I wanted to have volume. And that's where I started. And, of course, I've put a lot more into it now. I mean, you know, if I make, say, 2.5 in 1 year, I may spend 2.35 to make that money. So, you know, it's not all, you know, you see that the horse makes a lot of money, but the owner don't always make all that money. You got to pay your jock, and you got to pay your trainer. You got shearers and veterinarians. I mean, there's so many people, everybody's got their hand in a little cookie jar. So you just got to know going into it what it's going to cost. And, you know, it, like I said, volume was my way. You can get into it now. I got a young man started in it with, he had $20,000 and he's claimed two horses and already won a race and run a third. And he's having a great time down at Sam Houston. And, that's what it's all about. And, he texts me and asked me questions, and I actually coached his mother back in the day. And so he'd come up to my suite at Remington and was asking questions. He got into banking business and saved a little money, and he wanted to get in it. Oh, he's loving it. He's having the time of his life, and that's what we want. That's exactly what we want.
That's tremendous. If you had one area that you would alert people to, a mistake that you think is a common mistake for people that are trying to get in, what would you think it might be?
To think that you're going to get in the game and dominate right off the bat. Don't look that you're going to, don't get into it and think that you're just going to win, you know, every race or, you know, you gotta be humble and you gotta take defeat and know that, hey, you're not going to win every time. But if your horse can try and run second, third, or fourth, or fifth. You're still going to get a little check. You're still going to pay your bills, and you're still going to have some fun. And that's the one mistake I see people getting in is they think, oh, well, this is easy. I'm going to get in, make all this money, and my horse is going to win every race. And, you know, that's just not the case, unfortunately. And it's a tough business, but it's a rewarding business. Saturday was just the most fun of my life, probably, other than having my children born. So that's just the way, and, you know, maybe marrying my beautiful wife, Allison. You know, that could have ranked up there pretty high. But I mean, it was an awesome day. And I mean, it was just one of those days I'll never forget. And that's what we want. We want owners to experience that.
Exactly. Exactly right. Well, Danny, I just tickled to watch this, and it didn't hurt that I bet on him either, and that was about as nice a win, and seeing the way people that know you and know what you've put into this, seeing how they're reacting, that, you know, that's also got to feel great that so many people are happy for you to. I mean, if you never, yes. If you never, right? If you never even ever were to win a graded stake, it wouldn't. You know, it might be a disappointment, but it's not. You know, it may be one of those goals that you have, but the way people are celebrating it, that's got to feel good too.
Oh, it does. I mean, and they're celebrating the horse, not just me. And, you know, I've had, like I said, a lot of people love this horse, and you know, they love watching him race. They love to wager on him. Some of them love to wager. Some just love to watch. And it's, you know, he's kind of a fan favorite. And I just, all the glory goes to him and his trainer and the jock that got him there. You know, I'm just the man that pulled the trigger to buy him and put him in the right spot. So. It's been very rewarding for all of us.
Well, you put a lot of them in the right spot. As you mentioned, 1,080 wins, and I think this was win number 1,079, I think, right? You had one after this, right? You had
I had one named after my wife. I win Saturday night in Houston called "The Best Wife Ever." Oh. And it was out of my stallion to Stoops, and we raised it, and she won a race at Sam Houston that night. And
oh, perfect.
That was it.
That's so perfect.
It kind of topped off the night when we were having pizza at DeLuca's there in Hot Springs, and kind of topped the night off when she got the win.
Oh, that's tremendous. And as it happened, she was 8-1 as well. So they were the same price. That's great. 8-20 and 8-30.
As many people as contacted me about wagering on Rated R, I don't know how he went off 8-1. I mean, everybody has talked to me and said, hey, we put a little money on him, and we're so happy for you, and we're so happy. We won. I said, well, that's what it's all about. That's exactly what it's about.
Wow. Danny, delighted and thrilled to get a chance to talk. We'll be looking forward to the handicap in a few weeks, and Rated R back, you know, becoming the next namesake stake horse at Oaklawn. You'll be able to present the trophy for Rated R Superstar.
Well, that would be great, and I hope it all. It's a storybook so far, and, you know, it'll be a storybook ending if we can get that done.
I love it. Danny Caldwell, and you can follow Danny, and as you can tell, he'd invite questions if you're interested in the game. I don't want to speak for you, but I get the sense, right?
Sure.
You don't mind. I love fast horses is Danny Caldwell on Twitter. Danny, thanks so much for this.
Sure, enjoy it very much, Steve. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Danny Caldwell, everybody, and Danny's second extended visit this year on the show. Plus, we had him with Boquette, actually, and with Hammer at the HBPA. Let's stay here. We've got about 25 minutes, and I got to reach out and got a first-time visitor, actually, that I'm looking forward to talking to, Leif Aaron from Phasic Tipton. And this is a conversation that's actually I've been anticipating. And so having Leif join us, this will be a great opportunity to hear a little bit about the whole digital sale concept, which has come to the marketplace and certainly was helped by what the pandemic did to the sales environment. Leif Aaron, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
I'm great. And I saw that this digital sale it comes to an end tomorrow. It started on the 17th. And so I reached out to Boyd about having you visit because this is, this is the wave of the future. It's become part of the calendar pretty much across the board. And you came on what, late last year to Phasic?
It was actually just the beginning of February.
Okay, it's that early. It's that recent. Okay.
Yeah, it is that recent. And they had already been working on their platform. So it was kind of just putting some of the finishing touches onto the platform. And there's still going to be a lot of modifications to the platform in the future. But we kind of just felt like we needed to get it in a place where people knew it was going to be happening, it was going on, and kind of just want to get our name out there and get it started off kind of how we perceive correctly with lower numbers and a higher quality group of horses than it had been seen in sales before.
And there's also, there's also the matter of being able, it seems, to sell horses at whatever timing becomes appropriate, as opposed to having to wait. Let's say, if it's the case of bloodstock, the horses that that are of racing age and horses that are in training, in one way or another, or horses that fell through the cracks at maybe in October and November sales, February sale. Talk about how a digital sale catalog comes together, and this is the March digital sale. Are there going to be signpost sales on a regular basis, or are they going to kind of crop up as catalogs come together?
Well, they are. That's a tough question, and that's one we've debated with internally, because what we saw before is that sometimes if you just don't have the horses, there's no point in having a sale. So it's kind of like chicken or egg sort of scenario with that. So I think what, we got such a good group of horses in for this March sale that I think we probably will go ahead and have an April sale, and we're going to release that as soon as this sale is over, which is tomorrow at 2:00. But you talked about, the importance of having, the ability to sell horses off updates. And, you just look at the sale we have in right now, and you have a sister to Unoho. You have a horse that just got graded stakes placed for the first time in its career, and they were able to put her directly on the site. And then you have even a stallion share with a horse that's just gotten hot. And he's looking like he is going to have a really big 2022, and it's actually a stallion in France. And so, for people to go on and be able to buy one of these and know it's available and know it's being sold, especially a share, that doesn't usually happen. So that's huge. I mean, that's enormous, and it shows the open-mindedness of owners and people across the world to use our platform and get it going and help us. And I feel like I'm really happy with what we have going right now.
There's 17 horses in this sale that ends tomorrow. And this really is a fascinating cross section of what is going on here, including either racing or broodmare prospect. There's hip number 3, Rogue 2. A first dude mare, somebody could go on. Sukata, the filly that was covered by Nick's Go. So here's, right. You're going to get a baby, soon enough. And, next year there's a little bit of everything. And the Almanzor stallion share, that's a wild concept sitting available.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that one, kind of came to us out of the blue a little bit, but I was so happy that it did because, you know, to me, if you're going to make this into an American equivalent, this is like buying a Not This Time share 6 months ago. So where that stallion has gone nuclear, Al Manzor's doing the same thing over in Europe. And this gives people, I mean, we've had a lot of international attention coming through on him, which really just opens up attention for our website and everything. But this stallion's really on the up, and you can't get into him over there. And you were talking about some of the other selections. You know, we have a horse in Fulton McLean's Music that you cannot get into this year. So that's a great one. And then this will be the first mare ever offered in full to Nick's Go. And then, like I said, Not This Time is absolutely on fire, and we have a mare that you can get a foal from this year. So, you know, it's you're right. There is something for everybody. I would say pay attention to the last cover dates to make sure you're going to have a foal this year or next. This is a new thing for people, but you're right, Steve. There's literally something for everybody on here. There's lower-level stake horses to very high-end stake horses that are, you know, have competed in graded stakes. So, it's quite the cross section of horses.
You're also, as you go through this, I mean, you look at the families. I'm just noticing the gelding that's here. Heston.
Yes.
And I see Stage Magic, which makes this, or Stage Luck. But I'm pretty sure that this is, he's gelded, but still, this is a Gunther product, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, exactly. And there's also a Shadwell one that's a gelding in this group as well. So there was bred from them. It's actually owned by former jockey, now trainer, Elvis Trujillo in that Mohafeth. But Heston is a, he's a Godolphin horse and beautifully bred. And, you know, they can't keep them all. So, you know, horses like this that, you know, might be able to go on to a different circuit and race and be very competitive for somebody else. You know, it's people like buying off them because they do a great job.
And that Heston, I think just ran. I think I was at Fairgrounds when he ran. If I'm not mistaken,
right?
I think he ran on Risen Star Day.
It was.
Yeah, that's exactly what that's exactly who this is. And I saw that. Yeah, Brendan Walsh. Yeah, Brendan in the Freedom's Way victory. And on the 19th, yeah, I saw him run. Well, right, you could buy him right now for $15,000. It could, you know, it's not right. The sale's not ending today, right now. But,
no, but it would be. I'm glad you brought that up. It would be smart to go ahead and get. You know, these horses are available to be inspected. So you know, you there's channels in doing that on the website. So, and you know, these a lot of all the racehorses have got radiographs in their repository. So their vets will be able to go and look on them. This is, we're trying to make this as much being like a live sale as possible, except for online. If that makes sense.
No, understood. And talk about that a little bit and how much of this is the future. I mean, the buying on the phone and the way in which, Fasig and Keeneland and OBS, had to, it really kind of gird up their bidding systems to accommodate the pandemic. People that were not going to be able, didn't even have to be international. They could be local that didn't want to come to a sales ground. And that's a reality. How do we see the future and how are as Fasig and how are you, you know, what do you anticipate as to how much of this will ultimately, you know, be the, you know, the horse sale of the future?
Yeah, I think that it will pick up momentum, and it's going to become a lot larger, and it's going to be a place where horses are going to become much more liquid for people, so that they don't have to wait for a sale. you know, way in the future. Or let's say 2-year-old sales now are coming up and some people say, I want to get rid of some of these old racehorses to clear out room in the stable for the new ones that I'm going to go buy. Well, there's still places for those horses and racetracks for them to run at. So I think you're going to see a lot more momentum picking up that way. I don't ever really think that the in-person sales with young stock like yearlings, I don't think the internet will ever totally replace those. But what we have seen is people really, they've really enjoyed the online bidding and the bone bidding from that. And I think it's a way for owners to participate if they can't be here. And, you know, and that for us is the biggest thing, is just getting the owner participation and the excitement of the sales and without having to be here on the property. So, you know, for us, for our yearling sales, that's big. And it brings in a broader buying base, which also helps the consigners and the sellers and breeders. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody, with that. And it is absolutely exploded from that end. And I feel like now, you know, we're trying to develop this market for, horses with updates and things of that nature, online. And I think people are, you know, just based, this is the first online digital sale Fasig Tipton's ever had. And I think we've had over, 400 people register on this website, which is amazing to me, for, you know, 17 horses. So that's really exciting stuff. And I feel like it's growing and it's a, for us, it's just establishing the marketplace right now more than anything before we really let this thing take off. In Australia last year, they did 100 million in Australia, in digital sales, which absolutely blew my mind. Now, granted, they don't have a claiming system or anything like that, but I mean, It's a lot of trade.
Yeah. No doubt about it. A couple of technical questions before we talk about you and your background. Leif Aaron is with us from Fasig Tipton, joined even more recently than I realized, and he's heading up the digital sales division of Fasig. And in terms of things like the mechanics of credit for the sale, how is it? Is it basically the same system that you would go through being on site?
Yeah, you basically go on the digital.fasigtipton.com, register to bid, and apply for credit, and it's as easy as that, and you will be approved very shortly, and it's even easier to get approved if you've bought horses online here before. With the in-person auctions. But that's the process that you do. And you'll have, you'll receive a call from our CFO very shortly after you register.
There you go. And, then in terms of, you talked about inspection and, you know, the horses are scattered around. So in terms of putting prospective buyers in touch with a vet that, that could do an on-site inspection, put their hands on the horse. How does that work?
So right now, the way it works is a consigner or an owner can be contacted from the site to schedule a show. And this kind of keeps the trainers from getting bugged while they're busy. You know, they have a lot of work going on, and those guys stay incredibly busy. And so now, you know, they can contact the consigner to schedule a horse show or a vetting or, you know, anything that you would do in an in-person sale. So that's a, to me, it just makes the buyers more comfortable all the way around doing it this way.
Nice. Well, and then for prospective sellers, let's say we've got a yearling, you don't want to wait until September, or July. How does somebody, in contact with you and talk about, you know, when there might be an opportunity to sell.
Right. So, So right now, what I would say for yearlings more than anything, I would encourage people to nominate for the Fasig Tipton summer sales and right now, and have a Fasig Tipton person come out there and inspect your horse and figure out the best way to go about it. But I would say right now we're focusing more on digital with older stock. Like if you have a racehorse that's broken his maiden real big, that it's too expensive for you to own anymore, then that we're the person to call. Or an update for a broodmare, a half sister wins a grade one, anything like that. We are more than happy to get those horses up on there. And basically what I would tell you is call Fasig Tipton and ask for me, and I'll appraise the horse for you, and we can talk through it and get the horse listed online. I think there's going to be some big announcements right after this first auction about maybe some even standalone auctions, maybe some horses that could have some Derby points and might be a big opportunity for some owners to maybe even get to go to the Kentucky Derby. So we're full steam ahead.
That's exciting. Lee Farron with us, and talk about your own background and you know, how you arrived here, because you got a fascinating resume already. And what was the origin of your interest in the sport?
Well, Steve, honestly, I just needed a job. It was the first reason I was, I started, and I didn't know how lucky I was to start there, but when I was 16, I was mucking stalls for Judmont, and I worked on the farm at Judmont, and I had, two jobs. It was cleaning stalls and weed eating, and I was, very good at both of those. And, I finished, college at University of Kentucky. I then went to work for TaylorMade and did pedigree research, at TaylorMade, you know, for a few years, and then did the Godolphin Flying Start, went back to TaylorMade and did Stakes Philly recruiting, which was basically just recruiting the, you know, big grade one winners to sell at public auction. And then when Arrogate went to Judmont, I went with him and then and managed his book. And unfortunately, everybody knows, you know, he passed away, and Boyd called me and this opportunity came up and I jumped at it, because I think that the majority of my background is in sales. So I think this is where, for me, what fit. And, I'm a junkie for action, Steve. So I have really, really enjoyed, talking to all these people about their horses and what they're worth, and watching these bids come in and watching people bet. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun, and I would encourage anybody, even if you're not going to buy, it's worth following along, because, especially in those last 2 minutes when the fire of the bidding starts taking place, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Well, you know, it's like anybody that's bought anything on eBay, and you got to sit there I've bought a horse on the phone, but this would be a little different, and I'm sure it's just as harrowing as, you know, when you're buying a piece of memorabilia or something else.
Well, the only difference between us and eBay really is that in the last 2 minutes when somebody bids, it's going to put more time on the clock. So eBay has what's called sniping. So people will come in at the very last second in the auction and put the last bid in. So, but in our auction, as soon as somebody bids at the end, extra time goes on. So really, hit number five could close before hit number one.
Right.
There's a lot of action
right
on hit number one, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. So, it does.
Yeah.
Completely. Well, you know what might be good is some sound effects, is to have one of the great auctioneers, you know, record a little piece of the chant, so that every time it gets extended, the computer blasts out blah, 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 and, you know, and that'll
Steve, you may have missed your calling in auctioneering there from that.
No, Travis Stone. Well, you got your own callers. You don't need Travis.
Yeah,
but
Travis. I liked it.
That'll be fun. No, this
that would be fun.
This is great, and I'm glad. I saw the you know, the little note that sale was going to end tomorrow, and I hadn't had a chance to talk to anybody about the digital side. So I'm delighted to reach out and you know, make people aware. It's funny. I don't know if you were listening to Danny Caldwell, but you know, the conversation we had with Danny was about, you know, new owner's perspective, you know, getting more people involved. And this is, you know, obviously, you know, any day at any racetrack that's running, somebody could go and claim a horse. But, I mean, you got to put them, you know, you got to put the money in on account, and you got to have a trainer lined up. And, you know, this is a interesting, you know, additional entree potentially for somebody that's working, you know, working with an advisor, bloodstock advisor, or a trainer that you've picked out, you know, to monitor, or at the same time, you're looking to build a broodmare band. Here, you don't want to wait until October and November. You know, here's a chance to, you know, get in the breeding game right away. So there's a lot of things about this that's just timely, and you know, the industry does its best to react to, you know, the marketplace, and this feels like part of the future, not a, you know, specifically the future for everything, but it's going to be a part, obviously.
Well, that's right. And then with having the option to go in and buy racehorses right away, and to make people feel comfortable in the fact that they can vet the horses, they can get them checked out, they can make sure they're in good health before they run them, it's more instant action a little bit for owners, and they can kind of do it themselves. And you know, there's been a lot of big guys, big name guys, that have started on doing this themselves, and they enjoy the research, and they're good handicappers, and they understand horse racing, and they you know, they just don't know really a way to get involved. They don't know, you know, coming to a sale can be very intimidating, and you know, this way they can look on online and see what we have and make their own decisions, and that's, you know, that's exciting. It's just the more outlets we can have for getting new owners in the game, I think the better.
No, exactly right. And I just I'll put the link up of the sale page, and right at the top you see exactly what the breakdown is: five broodmare prospects, four horses of racing age, two that are racing or broodmare prospect, then there's a racing or stallion prospect, and then there's this crazy opportunity to buy a share of Almanzor, which is already at 200,000. With five bids, so that's being taken seriously. And I see Barroso, we should mention too.
That's right.
That SF is selling is at 150,000. So from 14,000 for Heston up to 200,000 for this Almanzor season, and this will be a big part of the sale landscape going forward. Leif Aaron, are you on Twitter? I'm sure you are.
I'm actually not, Steve.
No,
I'm not a social media guy. I'm not a Twitter guy or All right. Facebook guy, or I'm a phone call guy. So have anybody call me anytime they want.
All right. Well, get a hold of Leif at Phasic. Is there a sub account for Phasic Tipton?
Phasic Tipton
digital?
Has a Twitter account. So what
about a digital? Yeah. What about a digital version?
No. All encompassing. We're digital is under the Phasic banner.
All right. So, good old Phasic Tipton, CEO. For those of you that aren't following Phasic, you know what? Follow Boyd, annoy Boyd, and Anna. You can get a hold of Anna sites too. You can follow all of them, and but Aaron's going to take care of Leif. Aaron's going to take care of your actual business.
That's right.
I love it. Leif, this is so great. I'll look forward to meeting you in April or at Derby.
Sounds great, Steve. Thanks so much for having me on.
Not at all. This is great. So there's the background. There's the storyline of the digital sale landscape, and Phasic now in it. I'll put the link up specifically to this first sale. So best of luck to them and everybody that's involved. Very cool. Thanks to Leif Aaron. You can't follow him on Twitter. Thanks to Danny Caldwell, too, and Larry Jones. Always great to congratulate Larry. Really fun to the conversation with Danny, too. The breakthrough, great at stake win. And Mig. We had a nice conversation with Mig. Plenty of modest amount of racing today, all right? So if you're playing, good luck. You've got Louisiana Downs and Mahoning and Parks and Turf Paradise and Will Rogers to keep you busy today. If you missed anything, archive podcast later and replay here, Sirius XM 6 to 9 tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. It's nationally recognized for making stallions since 1933 and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading freshman sire, Mosler by Warfront, as well as Divining Rod, Frisian Fire, and Super 99. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
4 in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. We use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.